So let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for the Word of God. For the Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth and abideth forever. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there is Grimmer. Hello. Hello, Mrs. Grimmer. Jacob, how you doing? Good, Jacob, good. Your mama called earlier today, and she must have got disconnected from her son. I'm not sure how that happened.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because we were still connected to each other, and then I had the monitor up down here where I could keep the questions up, and I seen you talking. I was like, well, I don't hear her talking.
Yes.
One of those things.
So I'm glad you're connected again, and welcome to the class. We just got started here. So we've opened the prayer. We sang our song. And so...
Yes.
That's right. So we're glad everyone's here today for this special occasion. And the study of the book of Genesis, chapter 45. A very memorable chapter from the book of Genesis, because it deals with the revealing of Joseph to his brothers. To show him that he couldn't put on anymore. He had to reveal himself to them and let them know who he was, because he was grief stricken. Tears of joy he had. But before we talk about chapter 45 of the book of Genesis, let's review the quiz. If you don't have a copy of the quiz, you can find a copy of the quiz at bftbc.org. /Genesis. That's bftbc.org/Genesis. And at that point, you could obtain a copy of the quiz. Look for something that says quiz or quizzes. Click on that. There's a list of 44 quizzes, actually 45 quizzes. So there may be one that's combined, but there's a bunch of quizzes there. Go down to quiz number 44, open it up, and you'll be able to print that out and take the quiz with us. So we'll start with question number one, Mrs. Grummer. Question number one.
In whose sack of corn did Joseph Stewart place a silver cup? In Benjamin.
That's right, in Benjamin's sack. He placed, and what else did he put in this the sack?
Let's see. Which one went to? Oh, food.
Yeah, they put food, that's true, they put food. And they got three things in the sack. They put the food, the money, and the silver cup in Benjamin's sack. Question number two, Jacob.
All right, what time of day was it when the 11 brothers were sent away? That would be daybreak, sir.
Yeah, daybreak, right early in the morning there. And Jack, you want to get question number three?
And who did Joseph instruct to say, "Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? And to whom was he to say?" And I said, "The men."
And Joseph Stewart was to say it to the 11 brothers. That's right. The men were the 11 brothers, part of the dozen. Actually, part of the 11, but they didn't know about the other brother.
They didn't know about Benjamin then.
No, they knew about Benjamin. They just didn't know Joseph was Joseph.
Oh, they didn't know Joseph.
No, they didn't really. They didn't know Joseph was Joseph until we know Joseph's Joseph. But they didn't know Joseph was Joseph until this chapter.
Until he revealed himself.
Yes, until he revealed himself. That's right.
In chapter 44.
In chapter 45. In this chapter.
Okay, he's going to reveal himself. So he didn't reveal himself
not yet. He has not revealed himself yet.
In this chapter we're going to do, he's going to reveal himself.
He's going to reveal himself. So I'm Joseph, your brother. And they're going to be dumbfounded. Bill. Yes, I'll keep that on. It'll be fine. Unless it's going to interfere with your work.
See an image, a picture.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Go and remove it. I understand. I do understand what you mean.
Number four, who said, "How should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold?" The brothers.
Yeah, the brothers. The brothers said that. Tammy, you want to take question number five, please?
Who said, "He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and you shall be blameless"? The servant of Joseph that was giving Joseph's words, he was also called a steward.
Yes, steward, servant, that's correct, from verse 10. Caroline, number 6.
In which of the 11 brothers' sacks was Joseph's silver cup found? Canaan?
Canaan is the place where they lived. They did live in Canaan. The brothers were from Canaan, so it is confusing. Let's look at verse 12. Let me read verse 12 for you. Genesis 44 and verse 12 says, and he searched and began at the eldest and left off the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. So these brothers were from Canaan, but the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. He was the youngest of the 12. So that was a little bit tricky question there. And do you want to do one, or should we go on to Mrs. Romer? Okay, question number 7. It's like a two-part question. Number 1, what did the brothers do to their clothes? And number 2, why did they do this to their clothes?
They rent their clothes because the cup was found in Benjamin's sack.
That's correct. That's correct. And number 6 is always an option. Of course, we may have some string in the way, but anyway.
No, number 6 is not an option because number 6 is something else.
Oh, number 6 is something else. Okay. Let me see, Mrs. Grummer, next question, whatever that is, number 8, I guess it is.
In whose house did Judah and his 10 brothers return? They returned back to Joseph's house.
That's right, they returned back to Joseph's house. And Jacob, number 9.
All right. Before whom did the 11 brothers fall to the ground? From Genesis 44:14, that would also be Joseph.
That's right. That's right. They fell to the ground before Joseph, kind of also in connection with that dream he had 20 years ago, or more than 20 years ago. Jack, the next question, please.
Who said, were ye not such a man as I can certainly divine? And it was Joseph?
Joseph said that. That's correct. And Bill, number 11.
In your opinion, what verse is key to chapter 41? I wrote verses 1 and 2.
I could go read those verses.
Okay. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as such as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken.
And, Tammy, what did you get for that one, number 11?
Well, I had several verses, but I guess the two main key ones, then they're kind of different ideas,
right?
Are verse 15, where it says, and Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? What not that such a man as I can certainly divine, pointing to what he had dreamed years ago. And then verse 33, now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. So it's kind of Judas, protection of Benjamin. It's kind of shows a risk of repentance.
Right. Caroline, would you pick the number between 130 and 34? Which was your verse? Would you pick a number between 134? No, did you get that one?
No.
Okay. Let me see who's Mr. Grummer.
I picked verse 32.
Go ahead and read verse 32 for me.
Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad's bondsman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers.
And Jacob, let me see. Did I cut you off? Did you finish that verse, Mr. Grummer? Man, Jacob, your what verse did you pick?
I put 16.
Okay.
It can't be without 33.
Okay.
And Judah said, what shall we say unto my lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are thy lord's servants, both we, and he also, which when the cup is found. But he showed that he was repentant here in 33.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad,
yes,
and let the lad go up with his brethren. And then I went back to 37, and it was Judah that wanted to sell him.
That's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
was making amends.
Yeah, that's a good observation, Jacob. Very good observation how it was Judah's idea to begin with. And now, I mean, he doesn't realize who he's talking to, but he doesn't want something to happen to Benjamin.
That's 37:28. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jack, what verse did you pick?
What?
For number 11. What answer do you for number 11?
I just put Joseph's house.
Let me see. This question number 11, what's the key verse in the chapter?
And me, the key verse to me was I got the
Joseph's house.
Right.
Okay.
I was looking at King James.
Yes.
Bible online.
Online. Understand. All right, Tammy, take question 12, please. Thank you, Chuck.
Number 12. Who said God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants, Judah?
And that couple that with what Jacob's observation was too earlier. How he said Judah was the one who suggested the fact. Here comes this band of the Midianites, or Ishmaelites. Let's sell them, sell Joseph. We know what's going to what profit is if we kill him. Let's get some money out of this deal. Caroline, question number 13.
Who said, "Get you up in peace unto your father, God"?
Let's look at verse 17. This answer encompasses several verses, Caroline. So I understand, you know, why it's confusing, but. But you know it's hard. These are hard questions. So let's look at verses 15, 16, and 17 of chapter 44. Verse 15 says, "And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Why not that such a man as I can divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we be clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace and go to your father." And so we have the antecedents are kind of confusing to follow, but we go back to the very beginning in verse 15, Joseph is talking, or Joseph is saying this. Question 14, I'll read you. You get a two-part question again. To whom did Judah say, his brother is dead? Part two, was he right?
Repeat the first part.
To whom did Judah say, that's the fourthborn, I think, of Leah. Judah say,
just a moment, verse 22.
Please read verse 22.
And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him.
So the question is, to whom did Judah? Judah was talking.
Right.
Judah was talking to
Joseph.
And was he right?
About Joseph being dead.
No, he wasn't right.
Which I'm assuming was the question.
Yeah, that he was.
I sort of was guessing that was the question you were getting at, but I was having trouble understanding.
I'm sorry, I didn't do very much. My close writing has failed in this question again. It's somewhat ambiguous, but he was asking that he says his brother's dead, and he was wrong about that statement. Let me see. Next question, Mrs. Gromer.
Who is the lad? Number one. Question, there's two of them. Yes, who is the lad? Who is the lad's father? Benjamin is the lad, and Jacob is his father.
Okay. And then what relationship did Benjamin and Joseph have to one another?
Excuse me?
What relationship did Benjamin and Joseph have to each other?
They were brothers.
So they were full brothers. They had the Rachel was their... Was their mother, and Jacob was their father. Let me see, Jack. The next question, please.
Who said, "Go again and buy us a little food"? Our father.
Yeah, the father. Jacob, the father. He said that. Not Jacob from Texas, but Jacob, the father of a dozen. Bill. Next question.
Which one of the 11 brothers became surety for the lad, Judah?
Judah, that's correct. That's correct, Judah. Number 18, Tammy.
What was Judah's suggestion? That he would take the place of Benjamin as Joseph's servant, and the rest of the brothers could go back to
that's
their
right.
father.
That's right. Our Caroline, number 19, please.
Who said, lest pre-adventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Judah?
Yeah, that's what Judah said. That's correct. And Anna, the number, question number 20, this is kind of a open-ended question, but the question is, what is something you have been reminded of or have learned from Genesis chapter 44?
Well, it's interesting because it sort of seems like Joseph is having a test to his brothers. He's saying, well, okay, my full brother I'm going to put in a precarious situation. I'm going to see if my half-brothers will protect him and stand up for him, or if they're going to abandon him they abandoned me. And then he sees that they're standing up for him and that they've changed.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good point. Mr. Grummer, how about you? Something you've, what did you get from number 20?
You know what, that's the only one I didn't get.
Okay, it's understandable, we can't get them all. How about Jacob, what did you put down?
It's where repentance and faith is so visible obedience.
Right.
When Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac and any other examples.
That's good. And Jack, what did you get for number 20?
I said in verse 25, and our father said, and buy us a little food.
Okay.
It appears to have been a famine.
Yes, that's right. That's right, Jack. That's good. Good observation. There was a famine. I mean, that's
like there was no. It doesn't seem like there was no buffet around there.
No, there was no buffets. 7-year famine. I mean, they're 2 years into the 7-year famine, as we'll find out today. Bill, what did you put down for number 20?
All of the events that are happening in Joseph's life
mm-hmm.
Were designed by God.
Yes.
It seems like many of the events that we normally face in our lives are a result of circumstances partly created by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Partly created by influences within the world that we face. But all of the events in Joseph's life, maybe some of the smaller events, were created by circumstance that a person would have created.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all of the events that are noteworthy anyway were designed by God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. God has hand in significant events, and he has hands in events in our lives as well.
This is to be a lesson for mm-hmm. many, many generations to follow.
Right, it is. And Tammy, what do you think of the
number 20? I like what Bill said. Yes. Really, it shows how God orchestrates
yes.
everything mm-hmm. in our lives mm-hmm. and is in control mm-hmm. of everything, even you know the things that we think we have control of. He's ultimately in control of.
Yes.
But what I actually wrote was really what kind of what Jacob and Anna mm-hmm. were saying, as far as God can change anyone, and He
yes.
does,
mm-hmm.
and He can change their show them their sin and give them a, mm-hmm. a heart of repentance.
And Caroline. So let's, Jacob, do you have something to say?
But about this chapter,
uh-huh.
you know, remember the two verses, Pastor Dad, your favorite one from one Bible study, God will give an answer of peace?
Yes, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And the other verse, when he told Pharaoh, it is God that interprets dreams?
Yes. Yes, that's right. It is God that interprets dreams. Sounds like a wind chime there. Okay. All right.
It's a
doorbell. Yes. Okay, so that's great. You know, that's what Joseph said to Pharaoh. He said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Because they were having this Pharaoh was having this dream, and he didn't understand what it was going to be. But God gave Joseph the interpretation of that dream, and then God put Joseph in the responsibility to care for and manage all these details that were about the famine. So we can begin reading chapter 45. This is a very good chapter because it talks about the revealing of Joseph. For all these years,
finally,
for all these years, the father thought Joseph was dead. The brothers even believed he was dead. And now they discover that he's not dead. You know, God put him in this specific position so that he could save life.
And Jacob finds out, too.
Yes. That's right. Let's start with reading two verses each. Mrs. Grummer, you start with verses 1 and 2, and then Jacob, so forth, 3 and 4, and Jack, 5 and 6, and so forth.
Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, caused every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard.
And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth thy father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled in his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you, and they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt.
Chapter 5 and 6.
Now therefore, be ye not grieved, and nor angry with yourselves, and that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For those 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest.
And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it is not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt.
Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus said thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all thou hast.
And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you.
And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck.
Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and he wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. So we have here the situation, the brothers have returned a second time, and they're on their way back, as we found out in chapter 44, and we have the silver cup of Joseph. He's in the sack of Benjamin, along with the grain, and also Benjamin's money is there in the sack. And so they brought back to Joseph's house, and now they're before Joseph, and then in the beginning of chapter 1, Joseph could not refrain himself. He could not refrain himself. Chapter 45. Thank
verse
you. Chapter 45, verse 1. He could not refrain himself. What does refrain mean, Jack? What is the idea of refrain? And this is in the context of 45:1.
Control himself?
Yeah, that's good.
Hold back.
Hold back, that's right. Mm-hmm. Control, hold back. He could not refrain himself. And so, what did he do, Caroline? What did he cause? He caused something to happen. He was there in this big, I'm not sure how large a place he was in, maybe someplace where there are other people there other than just his brothers. And so, who did he cause to depart, to go away?
Joseph made himself known unto his brethren.
Mm-hmm. That's right, he made himself known to his brethren, but before he did this, he caused everyone to go away. He caused all the Egyptians
to cry,
to go away. You know, in verse 1, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, Tamar.
Isn't this in his house?
Yes, it is in his house. Mm-hmm. It is in his house. And in verse 2, it shows us, demonstrates to us, what did Joseph do, Jacob, in verse 2?
Wept aloud in the Egyptians' house of Pharaoh heard.
Even though when they were caused to go away, they still heard. He wept aloud. The brothers aren't really sure what's happening. Joseph knows what's happening. He understands what's happening. He knows what's coming. But at this point, they see Joseph saying, cause all the men to go out. And the Bible tells us that the Egyptians that went out are hearing the weeping. But yet, the brothers still don't understand. They see Joseph crying. But they still don't understand. And what does Joseph say? And what does Joseph say to his brothers in verse 3?
I am
Joseph.
He asked them a question. Mm-hmm.
And he asked the question, doth my father yet live? Now, the brothers, they were troubled at this. Mm-hmm. And they obviously so. And they couldn't answer. I mean, it's one thing, I suppose, if they would meet their brother as in an ordinary, on a peer level. But here they're meeting a brother, their long-lost brother, on a much higher level than they would ever have thought he would be at. I mean, God revealed it to them in the dream. Although the understanding of the dream wasn't clear. It wasn't clear to Joseph. It wasn't clear to them.
They thought that their guilt was hidden.
Yes.
And when Joseph announced himself as being Joseph, all of a sudden it's thrown right in their faces.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it says they were troubled at his presence. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, too, is there's no mention of Pharaoh in the previous chapters, but it seems like Pharaoh is not only supportive of Joseph, mm-hmm. but he probably knew all along that these were his brothers.
Mm-hmm. Very possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, the servants in Joseph's house probably didn't know.
That's part of that verse, mm-hmm. the Pharaoh, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. So I have to agree with Bill.
Yes.
They were quite pleased with the Hebrews there.
And so in verse 4, Joseph says, I am Joseph whom ye sold into Egypt.
I'm sorry, but I kind of missed that interchange because I was listening to Bill and then Jacob started talking. So
should we have three people talk? Would that help?
Can you repeat it?
I think
we got two ears. Why can't we hear conversations at the same time?
I think what Joseph and from what Jacob was saying, Jacob from Texas, and what Bill was saying from New Jersey, was that Pharaoh, it's very likely that Pharaoh was aware of this dynamic. And
this was his brother?
Yes. I mean, perhaps he was Pharaoh was putting. If Pharaoh was at all aware of these men that were coming, the grain coming from Canaan, coming to the house, they were saying that it's like it's possible that Pharaoh was aware of this. And then he says in verse 4, I am Joseph whom ye sold into Egypt. And then he says, be not grieved. Now, why would they be grieved? Why would they be grieved?
Conscience,
guilt, be not grieved and angry with yourselves. Like it all goes back to the guilt. This is because you sold me into Egypt, and Joseph understood there was a reason for this, and the reason was God did send me before you to preserve life, and what life was being preserved? What life was being preserved?
There was a famine. Jacob's family needed food.
Right.
And Joseph, rather than saying, oh no, I'm not giving you nothing because you sold me, mm-hmm.
No, but he was there. Anna.
Well, So then, in effect, God used Joseph to preserve the entire all the children of Israel.
Yes, he did. He did. Mm-hmm. Now, Jack, I know it's been some time, but a long time ago since we talked about it, several weeks. But how long was the dream talked about? There were 7 years of plenty, and how many years of famine? Remember?
How many years of famine?
How many years of famine? In the dream of Pharaoh.
Oh, I'll take a guess.
Okay. Before you take a guess, there were 7 years of plenty. How many years of famine were there?
Was it 7 years of famine?
That's right. There were 7 years of famine as well.
Yes, Jack.
That's right. And how many years into the famine were they? In verse 6. If you look at verse 6. How many they were, when during this time period when they were, when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, how many years of famine were there?
2 years.
2 years. And so we have 7 minus 2. That should be 5. Unless we're doing some kind of new math. But we don't do new math.
We'll save that for the school down the street.
We could save it for the school down the street. But so there's 5 years left of famine. And that's what he says in verse 6. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. You see, they were Joseph prepared for the famine by saving 20%, one-fifth of everything that came in during the 7 years of plenty. So there was a lot of food, a lot of stuff to preserve life.
How were they getting their food then, if there was a famine?
Because Joseph put it in store. He stored it.
Oh, he stored it.
He stored 20% of the harvest.
Oh, okay.
You know, just think if you went to the grocery store, I mean, this is kind of a, you would say, rather than eating, you would put away 20% of your groceries away in the pantry someplace. I mean, or in the freezer. Because you know that in 7 years, the grocery store's going to be closed and you can't get any groceries. But you're saving 20% of all your groceries to get ready yourself for the famine.
Right. He did something like bears do. You know, yes. Bears hibernate for the winter.
Right.
And then they store the food in a certain place. So
that's
when they
right.
wake up, it's available for them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's right. But it's more than just 20% of a normal crop. It's a plenteous crop. So the grocery store analogy maybe will break down a little bit there. If you were a farmer, if you had an orchard, if you were growing wheat, you know, the yield for wheat, I don't know, so many bushels per acre. Do they grow anything other than cattle in Texas, Jacob?
Oh yeah.
What are some things they grow? They grow winter wheat, do they? Well, you grow rice, okay. So what's the farm report on rice? How many bushels per acre do you get on rice?
I have no idea. I used to work in the rice field when I was like 13.
Okay, that was a few years ago. I know. So, but anyway, the idea, Jack, when you have a bumper crop, you know, it was 7 years of a bumper, a super bumper crop. You know what a bumper crop is?
A bumper crop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jacob, what's a bumper crop? Do you know what that is?
Really good
harvest. But they had 7 years of this, an extremely bountiful harvest. But then Joseph stored away 20% of it, getting ready for this time period, the 7 years of famine. And he tells his brothers, 2 years are gone, 5 years are left. And in verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. A great deliverance. Now, that's that kind of a picture of salvation, a great deliverance, isn't that? The idea of deliverance has to do with being delivered from something, being saved from something.
Pastor Dan?
Yes.
Yeah, remember that famine was up throughout the whole earth.
Yes.
It didn't just save the Hebrews, this saved the whole earth. It would have been destruction by famine this time instead of flood, but God.
That's correct. Yes, Tammy.
Posterity. That has to do with, ancestry, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, go ahead, Anna.
Clarify. Well, it's sort of the opposite.
Okay, well, then it's a legacy.
But it's related. It's related, though.
Why don't you explain it then, Anna?
Well, you explain it.
No, I think you could do a better job.
Posterity
means...
I
want you to take out some boxing gloves and then do it out with her and then the winner can explain.
I don't want to.
About posterity. I mean, ancestry meaning, you know, ancestry, descendants, it's very similar. I mean, I know one goes up, one goes down, one goes back.
Have children.
Exactly. And that's what the children would have in the ancestors. That's what you're talking about.
There won't be any children.
And so there were three things. Like God made Joseph in relationship to Pharaoh. There were three things. It says number one, made me a father to Pharaoh, which is very unusual. It's a very peculiar wording. Joseph was the second in command, but yet the Bible says that God made him a father to Pharaoh.
Which verse?
Versus verse 8. Okay. In verse 8. The idea that he was able to help and to give him direction of what to do with his dream. And the second thing that happened is, and lord of his house. In other words, Joseph had charge of all of Pharaoh's house. He was the second in command. He rode in chariot 2, second chariot. They didn't have planes, they had chariot. So it wasn't the first chariot. It was the second chariot. You know, the ruler of our country, we're rising the first plane. You know, it was very important that the Air Force takes very, that plane is very important to the Air Force because they want to make sure that nothing happens to it. So it's the Air Force One. And then the second in command will be in the number two plane, Air Force Two. And here Jacob is in the second chariot. The third thing, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So he's made a father, a steward of the house, plus a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. This is what God did. Joseph couldn't do this in his own strength. And what does Joseph want them to do? Caroline, in verse 9. What does Joseph want the brothers to do in verse 9?
Go up to the father and say unto him, thus said the son Joseph.
Yes.
And he made him lord of all Egypt.
Yeah, so that's right. He wanted them to go back, make haste, go back quickly to my father in the land of Canaan, like you said earlier, Caroline, in the land of Canaan. That's where they were living then. And to tell them, God hath made me Lord. It was God that put him in that position. It wasn't in his own cleverness, his own wit, his own will that put him in that position. It was God that put them in the position. And it says, tarry not. And what does tarry not mean?
Delay not.
Yeah, they don't quickly make haste. Two times to make haste and tarry not. He's being a little emphatic here. Get back home real quick. Don't tell the father, my father and your father, that I'm alive and I'm the ruler. I'm the lord of all Egypt. And where were they going to dwell, Mrs. Rummer? Where are they going to dwell?
In Goshen.
And that's nearby where Joseph was, Goshen. And in the preceding chapters, we'll see that it's a good place to raise cattle. And in verse 11, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are how many years of famine left, Jack, in verse 11?
Five years.
5 years left. Now, the famine would have brought them to poverty, like it did most of the land of Egypt, as we'll find out in subsequent chapters.
And we get that five because we multiplied two from that seven.
Yeah, that's right.
We subtracted the seven.
That's right. Seven minus two is five.
Right.
And to double check it, we go five plus two is seven. So we know the famine was 7 years. 7 years.
I just didn't want to memorize the number of it.
No.
I wanted to know the reasons for doing it.
Yes, and now you do, right?
Right.
You know the reason for doing it. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is in my mouth, speaketh unto you. Now it talks about the glory in Egypt. What's the idea of glory? What is glory? This idea of glory.
We just read verse 12.
I just read verse 12.
Are we going on to 13?
Well, we can stay in verse 12 for a moment.
No, that's fine.
Okay, I guess I was moving on to 13, but
okay.
I didn't make much of a comment about verse 12. Now, is there something you want to say about verse 12?
Well, he's just talking to him face to face.
Yes, he is. He is. And you shall tell my father. What's the father's name again, Jack?
Jacob.
Jacob is the father. Jacob had his name changed to?
Israel.
That's right, Israel. That's correct. Jacob had his changed name to Israel. And tell my father of all my glory in Egypt.
Spelled the same way as the country.
It is. It is spelled the same way. That's correct. And that's by design, Jack. You know that.
By design.
By design. That's how God intended it to be.
Right.
God changed Jacob into Israel, and now we have a whole country named Israel because they are the descendants of Jacob who had his name changed to Israel. Right. If Jacob's doesn't,
because it makes sense. You know, Jesus Christ was Jewish.
He was.
Right. So it would make
from what tribe was the Lord Jesus Christ from, Jack?
Judah.
That's right. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was from the tribe of Judah. Tell my father, and of all that you have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. So again, this word haste, in verse 9, he used the word haste. He also told them to tarry not. Now again, he's telling them to do haste, do this quickly. And he fell upon Benjamin's neck. Now who is Benjamin in relationship to Joseph again? His full brother.
His little full brother.
That's correct. And he wept upon his neck. Then verse 15 says, then he kissed and he hugged the other brothers as well. And here in verse 16, we talk about fame. Now what, Jacob from Texas, what is fame? Particularly in verse 16 here, what is fame?
It's like this kind of fame is everybody in the land knew about what had happened, what a thing had happened here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just local. It's like when they came out from captivity and they started up. You know, they had to fight the Amalekites. And
yes. Mm-hmm. They were. And we have the fame going all throughout Egypt. And saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and a pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. The Pharaoh in all of Egypt had high respect for Joseph, particularly in year one of the famine. You know, maybe they didn't quite understand years 1 to 7 of the years of plenty. But when the famine came, they were grateful, very grateful. I mean, Pharaoh probably was grateful because he understood and he saw the yield, how that increased from the previous years. An unusual amount of yield. You know, some things can yield 100 bushels per acre, some 50 bushels per acre, depending on the type of crop you have, depending on what you're raising, whether it's beans, whether it's wheat, whether it's corn. There's the yield is different on each type of crop. But the yield varies from year to year, and so they had an excellent yield, you know, to have put 20% in store, and yet have enough to last that not only them but everyone in the region, in the world at the time that had the famine. It was an abundant amount of yield that they had, and so. It pleased the servants, it pleased Pharaoh, that Joseph's brethren, his 11 brothers that came, were there. They were relatives of Joseph. So they had high regard for Joseph, and so consequently, they had high regard for the brothers. Mrs. Grummer, read verses 17 and 18, please.
And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto my brethren, this do ye, lay your beasts, and go get you unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land.
Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your
right, Jack, verses 21 and 22.
And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment.
And to this, and to his father, he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with the corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way.
And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not.
And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die.
All right, so in verse 17, Pharaoh is understanding it. And Joseph and his brothers go back to Canaan. And Pharaoh says this. Pharaoh says to Joseph, he says, Pharaoh, tell your brothers, lay your beasts and go to the land of Canaan and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you, this is by the mouth of Pharaoh, this is Pharaoh's, what Pharaoh is telling the brothers by the mouth of Joseph, and give you the good of the land, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. So Pharaoh is promising that he's going to take care of the family when they're in Egypt. Not only is there the father, but his other children. So we're 60. We'll get to that number later on. How many people came out of Egypt, and how many people were in Egypt. But nonetheless, it's a promise from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's taking a special interest in this. He's taking a special interest in this. And we know, it doesn't, which direction is Canaan from Egypt, Jack? Is it north? Is it south? What would you say?
Canaan,
yes. The promised land from Egypt. If you looked at a map, which we don't have a map here, but if you looked at a map, you know where Egypt is in the map, right? And you know where Israel is in the map, correct?
I'll take a guess. I would say south.
Yeah. That's a good guess, but Egypt is south of Canaan. So Egypt is south of Canaan. So the brothers came north to come to Egypt, and pardon me, they came south to come down to Egypt. And they go north to go back to Egypt. So that's where they're going back. They're going back. They're going back to Canaan to get their father. That's where their father is living. And it says, take wagons. So Pharaoh is giving them wagons. It's not a wagon like we think of, a small wagon. It's a big wagon. You yoke up with oxen, with animals. You ever thought about this wagon, Anna? Maybe we have the wrong concept of a wagon.
I never think of it as one of those little tiny wagon things.
Okay.
I thought of it as a wagon,
like a covered wagon.
Okay, like a covered wagon. Okay.
In the pioneer days.
Possibly not.
Okay.
Covered.
Okay, so it's uncovered wagon, possibly.
Probably not.
You know, it's maybe we don't know if it's covered or not, but it's a wagon like they like we're familiar with in the
not
pioneer days.
The kind of 2-year-old.
Okay, so it's so I was the only one that was thinking of a 2-year-old wagon.
I guess you are.
So, but nobody else was. So I'm glad. But they got the wagons for us. You take these wagons down. Take these wagons up to Canaan.
Excuse me.
Yes.
But you need an awfully lot of them to put all of your little ones and your wives and your father.
Yes, they would.
They would. Like that. Pull by his thumb.
And it's interesting, in verse 20, he says, regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. So it seems as though there were some things that they were going to leave behind, in verse 20. And the children of Israel did so, these are the 11 brothers, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and he gave them provision for the way. So going back with these big wagons to carry things back, and they gave each man a change of raiment. But how much? What did he give to Benjamin, Caroline?
New clothes.
Yeah, but how many? What else did he give to him? New clothes.
300 pieces of silver.
300 pieces of silver, and he gave him five changes of raiment. And all the good of good of Egypt, they brought down corn, bread, meat. They brought it down. Probably they brought it up to Canaan, to Jacob. And now, what did Joseph say to his brothers in verse 24? He didn't want them to do what? In verse 24. Now, the end of verse 24 says, "See that ye fall not out by the way." Jacob from Texas, what do you understand about this? Fall not out by the way. What did he want them to do? Okay, I'm sure you want to understand the road. Is there something else that this fall out by the way could mean?
Yeah, keep all four tires facing down.
Okay.
You got to face them up if you had a horrible day.
Mm. Being that angry with each other over what they had done.
That's good, Mr. Graham. That's right. Don't be fighting with each other. Don't be angry with each other. That's good. Don't be quarreling or fighting because, I guess Joseph knew the temperament of his brothers and was expecting perhaps they would be thinking about doing this. He says, don't do it. We don't know if they did or not, but Joseph said, don't do it. And in verse 25, and they went out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan and unto Jacob their father. And in verse 26, Jack, what did they tell their father Jacob?
Joseph yet is alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt.
And what happened to the heart of Jacob?
And in Jacob's heart, he fainted.
Because he didn't believe them.
Yeah.
He did not believe them until he saw something. He didn't believe them until they backed up with what they saw. In verse 27, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. He did not believe until he saw the evidence of the wagons. And maybe there perhaps were some Egyptians that were coming, Egyptians that were dressed in Egyptian garb, Egyptian clothing. Scripture doesn't say that any Egyptians came. I'm not sure if they did or not. But maybe something unique about the wagons. There was something about the fact that he saw the wagons and then his heart revived. Anna.
Well, they also probably didn't have wagons before. So the fact that they now had wagons all of a sudden, just knew the fact that they had wagons suddenly.
Okay, I understand. That's right. That's a good point. He went. That's right, because he knew the conflict that they were having with the governor of the land. And then Jacob says, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." He was able to revive. He was happy. He was pleased.
He believed.
So, Mrs. Gormer, some thoughts about chapter 45.
Excuse me?
What are some of your thoughts about chapter 45? About this chapter?
Oh, my thoughts on chapter 45?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of this. I know they're talking about Jacob and his brothers and Pharaoh and all that. But it's like, if you put God in there, like, God is in charge of all of this.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's correct. God is in control. Jacob, what's some things that you have to say about this chapter? There's a lot. Yes, there is. Mm-hmm.
I see, you know, reconciliation. I wouldn't want to tell the whole story. Nobody would want to hear it anyway, but it's just me and Ma, you know, we got family members. You know, the truth caused division, you know, people that, I mean, even family. What is that saying? Those people who hate truth have to call truth to hate truth. And even with the family, and it's just you know, but there's so much here, I can't even, I might get, I just, that's enough. I'm Catholic.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, that's, there's some worse than that.
Very sad, yeah. Very sad, yes. Jack, get ready your phones for Jacob. You finished?
That's all. No, yeah. I need this when I'm like this.
Hi, Jack. Some things you've observed from this chapter.
I observe that that there was a famine.
It was a famine. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Joseph, the brother Joseph, appeared.
Mm-hmm. Right, he appeared. He presented himself before the brothers.
Before the brothers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They seem quite surprised.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's correct. They were fearful. In fact, yes, that's right.
It seems like their adrenaline was pumping very quickly.
Mm-hmm. It was. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Bill, how about you? Some things from...
Yeah, the verses also suggest another major event going on without explaining it. Now, Joseph had the support of Pharaoh.
He did.
Probably after the brothers came the first time and Joseph recognized them,
mm-hmm.
when they departed, he probably went to Pharaoh to explain the situation to him. So Pharaoh knew what was going on, plus he needed a permission from Pharaoh to do the things that he was beginning to plan.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the fact that Pharaoh approved of all of these things and supported Joseph so much, Joseph, in interpreting Pharaoh's dreams as well, this all suggests to me that Joseph preached to Pharaoh, taught him about God, and probably Pharaoh and many other Egyptians were probably believers because of that.
We do know there was a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph later on during Moses.
That was 400 years later.
That's right. But the but the children of Israel did have a special respect in the eyes of the Egyptians for quite some time.
Yeah.
Until they, you know, there was a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph.
And they went back to worshiping idols.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Right. Tammy?
They saw God's hand. The brothers and... How he worked through all these things over these years, mm-hmm. and through these different chapters.
Right.
And, you know, they were shocked, undoubtedly, when they saw their brother. But Joseph had the attitude. Seems as though, in everything that we've read about him, he's never really turned away from understanding God's was in control of his life.
Right.
And he always seemed to be used in whatever venue he was in. And so he had the perspective of, you know, God did this.
Yes.
So, you know, that they shouldn't be angry with themselves.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn?
No problem.
Anna? It's okay. Anna. Good. Anna.
Yes, I thought it was a good chapter and interesting. how they, like, Joseph, like, didn't reveal himself until he saw Benjamin.
Yes.
Basically, mm-hmm. And when he saw Benjamin, and how the brothers were protecting Benjamin and defending Benjamin, then he decided that it was time for him to tell his brothers who he really was.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's good. Good observation. Well, I'm glad everyone came today. Next week, we'll go through chapter 46 of Genesis. And I do have a quiz, and the quiz is available online for people that can't get to it right here in the classroom, right here in the room or in the building. That location of those quizzes is bftbc.org/Genesis. And then look for something that says quizzes. Click on that and look for quiz 44. Probably quiz 45, and then you'll open that up and be able to print it out and take the quiz. Jacob, would you please close in prayer today from Texas?
Lord God, Father, thank you so much for letting us gather together with you here today, and not just that, but the good preachers we have that I don't think I could have found 100 years ago, because Lord, you know that some people have to be watchmen, shepherds, good ones. And I pray for the family that I had to think about today. My son and my two daughters and my ex and my sister, and I could go on, but Lord, you know. And I thank you and glorify your name. Thank you so much for what you did on the cross. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. All right, let me pass the quiz out here. Jack, you want to?